differently than we usually do. At this point, I'd ask you to give our worship team a round of applause. We're going to do all of that, but we're going to do something pretty special right before. I'm going to ask the family of Michael, Ashley, Lexi, and Hadley Gum to come up before us this morning. If you got something to say, say it now to the chief of police. All right? Say it to me too while he's up here. But if you guys could, join us over here. We want the church to see you all, not me. As you all know, this family has been coming for months now, and coming every single week. And Michael has taken over the responsibility of overseeing our security, which is a horrible thing to think of, that you have to have security in churches. But it's a reality in which we live in. And he's married to a beautiful wife and has two great, beautiful, intelligent little girls. And they are wanting to join our church, Pleasant Hill Christian Church. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to ask them to repeat after me. It's going to be very quick, short, and sweet. We believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And we believe by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we are called to carry His mission. And we are now doing it at Pleasant Hill Christian Church. Give this family one more round of applause. Come on. I'll just give you all hugs. How's that? All right. Congratulations. Can I have a hug, Hadley? All right. So now, if you could join me in giving our worship team a round of applause and our special guest for the day. I think we've clapped like 5 times already this morning. We better slow it down. All right. And at this point, our elementary or our preschoolers are going to go downstairs. And if you got any preschoolers or if you got any husbands that are real bad, send them down right now. How are you, church? Great. Well, I hope you all got your books. Tired. Man, ain't no time to be tired. I hope you all got your books. If you didn't get your books, grab them on the way out. Okay? They are out there in alphabetical. They were in alphabetical order. All right? I did that this morning. I went and labeled all the books in alphabetical order. And since I went to West County, I had no problem alphabetizing the last names of the church. All right? So they are out there. Get those. We are going to begin that this coming week. So tomorrow we will begin reading chapter 1, and we will begin preaching through it and reading through it next week. It's going to be a beautiful blessing to you to be digging into that book as it takes us from being fans of Jesus to committed followers of Jesus. So let me just ask you, I want to start with one question. What do you identify yourself as? And I know you have to really word that differently in 2018. Okay, this is not a gender question. But what do you identify yourself as? What are some of your roles or some of your responsibilities? Who are you? What do you identify yourself as? Take just a minute and look at all of the areas of your life and make a little list in your mind. I identify as. You know, my hope and my goal and my prayer is that every single person in this church will be able to identify themselves as a Christian. That's the goal. That is the goal of discipleship, is making disciples of Jesus. But can I just break the ice with this fact? Okay, it's a fact. Okay, you may not want to believe it, and you may want to argue it, but it is a fact. And it's going to be a fact that we have a little bit of building ground that we can work from and we can build from. Just because you are sitting in a pew at Pleasant Hill Christian Church on this beautiful May 6th of 2018 does not mean that you are a true, genuine, Christ-following believer or a Christian. It doesn't. And I hate to break that because some people here are like, well, I'm here. I marked it off. God's good. He saw me bring my Bible in, and I threw in the plate, and I even ate the wafer, and everything's good. Here I am, God. But there is this reality that we're going to build from today that not just because you're here are you truly a Christian. And we don't see the term Christian come into the Bible until Acts chapter 11 in the city known as Antioch. And the believers or the disciples of Jesus were called Christians by the way that they loved and lived and led the people. Through the way they shared the gospel, they were evangelizing, they were loving the people of a Gentile nation. And they were first called Christians. This term literally means to be a Christ follower, a follower or disciple of Jesus, a little Jesus. And to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, we must submit to His authority. We must submit to His will. We must submit to His Spirit who convicts and equips to carry out His mission. We must submit to these things. And we also, man, can I tell you something that should ease your mind a little bit? Did you know that if we were to truly come to terms with the fact that this life is not all about us, and it's all about Him and all for Him, that would ease our minds and kind of take a little bit of stress off of our life. Because the circumstances in which you find yourself in, you're not the only one struggling. See, I like to milk things, okay? I'm a man. And whenever I was sick last week, I kind of milked it into Wednesday. And I didn't feel great Wednesday. And I milked it all day Wednesday. And that's just men. That's who we are. And my sickness is the worst that's ever been happening in the face of the planet. I mean, that's all men do that. We all do that. Whenever something's going on, we like to milk it a little bit. Or we like to over-exaggerate just a little bit. You know, all I had was strep and flu B. And I thought I was, you know, about to write my living will. And I was ready. And I could hear the angels singing. And I heard pitchforks. I don't know what I was listening to. All right. I don't know, but I was ready. But sometimes we over-exaggerate things. But if we come to terms with this fact that this life is not truly about us, but it's all for Him, it's all about Him, that would ease our minds because we would look at the circumstances in which we find ourselves in, even though they may be horrible, even though they may seem unfair, even though we may feel like the world's out to get us, there are millions of people struggling with the same exact thing. There are over 7 billion people on this planet. Can you believe that? You're not the only one struggling with anxiety. Your marriage is not the only one that's a little rocky. Your kids aren't the only kids that have rebelled against you or are living in sin. It's not all about us. It's not all about me. And whenever we come to terms with that, we'll be able to follow Jesus just a little bit easier. Although we have this narcissistic mentality sometimes that really creeps in and it makes it all about us. And whenever we live in this narcissistic mentality where life is about me and life is about my issues and it's about my future and it's about my problems, we cannot truly follow Jesus like we want to, like we desire, or like we should. And whenever we come to terms that whenever we follow Jesus, we have to come to the terms that we are literally following God in flesh. And we are following the teachings and the words of God. In the holy inspired word of God. We are studying, reading, and living out the inspired word of a holy, righteous God. And we are so graciously called His children. Graciously called His children. It's not by anything that you did. It's not by anything I do. It's all about Him. It's all from Him. It's all for Him. It's all to Him. All the glory, all the honor, all the praise forever and ever and ever. Can you just imagine right now, you know, if you were to go home, you would have little kids maybe running around you and screaming and pooping their pants? I mean, that's been my life before. Can you imagine God hears this all day. Holy. Holy, holy, all day, it never ends. And we are graciously called His children. And when we come to terms with the fact that we are following God in flesh, and when we come to terms that it's not all about us, it's all about Him, that we might just see ourselves following him a little bit closer and removing some of the stress of our life and eliminating some of the problems in which we walk ourselves into. And today I want to go to Matthew chapter 4. And I want to talk about following Jesus. I want to talk about what it really looks like to follow him by submitting our hearts, our marriages, and our lives, our finances, our futures, all of it. I want to go to right when Jesus comes away from his temptation with the devil and he calls his first four disciples. And over the next 15 weeks, we're going to be going through this book where you're going to really dig into what it looks like to follow Jesus on a daily basis, committed to him. And before we get to this book, I want to talk about three C's that come with following Jesus Christ. Just three C's. And we find it right here in this text, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And if you're not there yet, just give up and look up. All right? It'll be all right. I'm just kidding. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, did you catch that? Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately, they left their nets, or they left their boat and their father, and followed him. And this is Jesus, right after leaving the temptation with the devil. He's forming his team to do ministry. He's gathering his disciples, the people who were going to follow him as a rabbi for three and a half years. And then after he was to leave, he would equip them and encourage them and empower them to carry out that mission, the mission that you and I are still part of today. It is our sole responsibility, other than loving God and loving people, to make disciples. Make disciples. Make disciples. Make disciples. It's hard. But you can't make a disciple of something that you aren't currently a part of. You can't make a disciple of something that you don't know. We're to make disciples of Jesus Christ, so we must first be one ourselves. We must first follow him. And the first C that I want to talk about is the word courage. You know, it doesn't come out and say they courageously follow Jesus. It said they immediately follow Jesus. But let me just tell you something. This, what you don't understand, or maybe you did by reading it, or maybe you have understood it by studying this. This was their job. They were fishermen. This was their way of providing food for their families. And, you know, shelter over their heads and clothes on their back. This was their income. And they immediately left their income, what they were comfortable with, to step into the unknown. They had no idea what it would look like following Jesus. They had no idea where they were going to go. They may not even have known Jesus all that long. They may have seen him over the years, but they didn't know what it was really going to look like. And they left what they were comfortable with and stepped into the unknown. They left their jobs. They left their career paths. They knew the fishing business. They knew it. They lived in it. They were raised in it. And here they are doing it themselves as adults. They're, you know, they're business owners. They're entrepreneurs in the fisher, you know, in the fishing business, fishing industry. And they immediately, the Bible says, immediately they left. And let me just tell you something. It took a great amount of courage. It took a great amount of courage because they left what was comfortable and stepped into the unknown. And can I just tell you, if we've never felt comfortable, and I've said this before, if you've never felt uncomfortable for the sake of Jesus Christ, maybe we really haven't done anything. Maybe we really haven't done anything. Because I'll just tell you, I did public speaking in high school, and I remember after that class, I said, "I'll never do that again. I'll never do it again." I would shake and sweat and, you know, foam at the mouth, and it was horrible. And I told my friends, I said, I'm glad I'll never do that again. I grew up not wanting to ever speak in front of people because, one, I didn't think my IQ was high enough to put anything of any sort of intelligence or intellect before other people in a speaking capacity. I thought I'd never gain their attention. I don't even know big words. I'm a little word guy. I can't speak. But it was courageous for these men to walk away from their livelihoods, their jobs, their incomes, to step into the unknown. And let me just tell you something. I was scared to death whenever I truly had given my life to Jesus and said, wherever you call, I go. Wherever you lead, I follow. It was scary. Now I have to deal with people like Chad Govrow. And it's scary, all right? It's scary. And dealing with people like that, no, I'm just kidding, he's an incredible guy. You will learn more from watching him live than you will ever learn from hearing me speak, ever. But it is courageous to get up here on a weekly basis knowing my past, knowing my flaws, knowing my shortcomings, knowing my own inabilities. It takes a little bit of courage to step out on a podium whenever I feel so inadequate that I shouldn't even be in the room. It takes courage to follow Jesus. Maybe you've wanted to follow Jesus and take the gospel to that friend or that family member or that coworker, and you just feel so uncomfortable and you feel so inadequate that you can never be the one to evangelize through someone and share such a perfect message as such an imperfect person with another imperfect person. Let me just tell you, in the very moment of feeling inadequate, in the very moment of feeling uncomfortable and a little scared, I would tell you, go. Go. Take a step out of your comfort zone and follow Jesus and take his message and his word to that person, to that family. I would tell you to go. Here's why I would tell you to go, and here's why I believe it's biblical. You have to think of the Great Commission. The Great Commission given to us, the most famously quoted, is Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. This was right before Jesus ascends to heaven. It was very comfortable for the people to follow Jesus while he was walking beside them. It was real easy. Matter of fact, anyone would have done it. You have people who are tax collectors and sinful, broken people following this holy, righteous God in flesh. It was real comfortable for the people to follow him while he was walking right next to them. But as he warned them, I'm going to die and I'm going to send a helper and it's better for you that I leave. It's better for you that I leave. And here he is on the brink of leaving and he tells them what? He says, go. Go. Right on the brink of feeling uncomfortable, inadequate, scared to death, he says, go. Because if you want to really follow me, you'll go. You'll go. Like I said last week, God is a God of movement and a God of motion. We have to be moving. We have to go. We have to go. In fact, John chapter 14, verse 26, I believe it is, right before Jesus, this is not long before Jesus is arrested. He's telling his disciples that there is one to come. And it's translated in many translations. And he says, but the helper, or the King James Version says the comforter. You ever felt uncomfortable? Guess what? There is a comforter known as the Holy Spirit. You ever felt helpless? Guess what? There's a helper. His name is the Holy Spirit. You ever felt inadequate? Guess what? The Christian Standard Bible would call him the counselor, known as the Holy Spirit. And can I just tell you that my courage when it comes to following Jesus is not based off my comfort level, rather the lack thereof. Because I know where my comfort lacks, his spirit and his strength is present. In my weaknesses, he is strong. In my flaws, I am freed and forgiven. In my shortcomings, he has redeemed and saved. In my sin, he is the Savior of the world. In my weaknesses or in my feeling of inadequate or just feeling uncomfortable about truly stepping out of my comfort zone and truly stepping out of this whole, I love going to church, but I don't really love the idea of truly following him with all of my life. He can have my Sunday, but I'm not giving him Friday night. I'm not giving him everything. I'm not giving him my money. No, don't think about that. Truly stepping out of our comfort zone, truly stepping into a committed you know, Christ-following relationship where we're in constant pursuit of Him, we have to realize we cannot do it on our own. You cannot do it on your own. Because the first bad thing that comes your way will knock you astray. You can only do it empowered by His Spirit. And this is the beautiful part about that. Here's the beautiful part about the Holy Spirit. You are living with the very Spirit of God. Just grasp that for a second. That means that no forces of this world could ever prevail and overpower Him. And He lives within you. And He lives within me. So it takes courage to get up when I have no sense of motivation in my life and all I want to do is feel sorry for myself and sit on the couch because life has been hard. It takes a lot of courage to get up and say, no, I'm still following. I'm still walking. I'm still serving. I'm still loving. I'm still sharing the gospel. I'm going to do it courageously. I'm going to do it boldly. And it takes a lot of courage. Even when we feel uncomfortable and the report comes back from the doctor not in our favor, it takes a lot of courage to say, whatever comes against me, it cannot prevail because the Holy Spirit of God lives within me. Whatever rumors are spread about me, I'm going to continue to courageously follow Him. I'll just tell you, it takes courage to follow Jesus in a world that completely ridicules you and rejects Him. It takes courage. It takes courage to preach the gospel in a world where you can be condemned for it and killed for it in places of this world. It takes courage for you to share His news. And that's the first step of truly following Him, is to be courageous. What did He tell Joshua about to go into a new land? Be strong and courageous. And if you want to meet in the new lands, if you want to reach new destinations in His power and by His word and through His promises, you have to be courageous. Because I'll just tell you, it's really comfortable sitting in here with everyone, singing songs and going on my merry way. And I did that. I've done that. It's real comfortable coming in here. I love coming in here. Have you heard how loud this place is? And how happy this place is? This is beautiful. All you see are smiling faces and handshakes and hugs. It's real comfortable coming in here. But it's not so comfortable on Tuesday night when I see people spreading my name on Facebook. It's not real comfortable. But courageously, I don't care. Courageously, I'm going to continue to preach the gospel regardless of what people say, think, spread, try to do. Because I realize that this is not about me. It's all about Him and it's all for Him. Therefore, I will give Him all of myself, even if that means to the very last breath. I will courageously follow Him. And the second C that we see in this text, and we see when it comes to being a Christ follower, is the word commitment. Maybe we think of commitment in today's world as people who are always at church. Just be honest, is that where you kind of go when it comes to committed Christ followers? They're always at church, they're always serving dinners, they're always cooking, they're always cleaning. I mean, that's kind of what we think of because that's the context in which we live. We live in the church context and people are always there and they're always friendly and they've always got the best words of wisdom. But that's not necessarily it. Because there are 52 Sundays a year. 52 Sundays. And since we live in Missouri, we have to at least count for one because we're either going to have sleet, snow, ice. We don't know what it is, but something's going to happen. And it's going to cancel service. And we've already had two this year. So there are at least one to two services that are going to be canceled every single year, leaving 50 to 51 church services a year. Can I just say that you're not going to show your commitment level to try to make 48 of those 50? That's not it. Or say, I'm a Christ follower because I was committed and I made 49 of 50. Can I just tell you you're crazy because I'm not going to make 49 of 50. I'm going to take my weeks of vacation and I'm going to go far, far away. All right? I'm going to be living on the beaches of Florida and Disney World. Yeah. With two little girls and a mom that can't wait to do everything that she gets her eyes on. Yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing. But I'm going to get away. And I'm going to remove myself from all of my obligations and all of my commitments to focus on my family. So that's not it. Your commitment level isn't the attendance on Sunday morning or making it to every church event, because that would simply be 48 days of the year. There are 365. Every 4 years, there's 366. Jesus isn't looking for a once-a-week commitment. He's looking for people who will pick up their cross daily and follow him. He's looking for an everyday commitment. He's looking for people who will walk through the valleys singing his praises. He's looking for people who will walk along the mountainside singing his praises. He's looking for people who will proclaim his goodness on top of the mountains of life. And whenever I look around this church, the beautiful thing about this church is that there are people who have been following him daily longer than I've been alive. I love it. Don't ever let your testimony get too boring for yourself or not feel up to par, because to walk next to him day after day after day, when people are spreading rumors, when you don't know where the means are going to come from to get through the rest of the week or even the month, whenever you don't know what's going to happen when the doctor calls, when you don't know what's going to happen when the company just decides to downsize or they're going to lay you off, but you continue walking day after day after day. He's looking for people who are committed on a daily, daily basis. And I wonder, you know, because when I first got into ministry, even I wasn't all about that. I'll be honest with you. I would do 52 Sundays a year. I would be there 50 of them, and it would be like, you know, Monday isn't a work day for me. I'll just tell you, okay, Monday's not a work day when it comes to the church for me. So if you try to call me, just remember that, all right? No, I'm just kidding. I'll answer it, but I might not reply to your text right away, all right? But Monday is my family day, because all weekend it's go, go, go with the girls, and then we have church all day, and I like to spend Monday evening with my girls and my wife. Or if we have life groups on Monday, we move it to Wednesday, vice versa. And for the first few months of my preaching career, I did not do anything on Mondays. I would read my Bible in the morning from my Bible app, my daily reading, and I wouldn't do any studying. It was just nothing. But what I realized is that God was still wanting me to commit myself to him on Mondays. He still wanted me to connect to him through prayer, meditating on his word, reading his word, digging into his word. Even though I'm not answering calls, emails, texts, Facebook things, I'm still digging into him, because it's not about my role at the church. It's about my relationship with Christ. I was so concerned about my role in the churches that I was missing out on my relationship with Jesus. He was looking for me to commit Monday through Sunday. Monday through Sunday. And I realized that it's very easy for some of us not to do it. Not to do it. And can I just tell you that us as Christians, we don't view it as an obligation to be here when we come to church. Does anyone feel obligated to come? Be honest. This is your moment of truth. It's amnesty period. You got 3 seconds and it's over. Do you feel obligated to come? Okay, it's over. Do not raise your hand. But as a Christian, you should feel that this is a beautiful opportunity for you to come in together with fellow believers, worshiping him. You know, I don't feel obligated to put money in the offering plate and to give him my tithes and offering. I view it as a beautiful opportunity to give back to the one who has so graciously given to me. It's not an obligation. It's an opportunity. And whenever we start to view these opportunities in life, sharing his news, preaching his word, loving people even though they don't deserve it, we'll start to see ourselves daily following him. And can I just tell you that whenever you start to walk daily with him, picking up your cross daily and following him, it kind of stops becoming a decision, can I tell you? And it becomes your lifestyle. Following him isn't a decision I have to decide every morning. It's the way that I live. If I had to wake up myself every morning and convince myself to love my wife, I would be in trouble. I don't have to convince myself to love her. It's just the way that it is. It is my life. I don't have to convince myself to worship Jesus each and every day. It's just my life. It's commitment. And we have to be committed. And the last one is costly. Can I say that? Can I say the word costly in church? Because everyone thinks it's just free. Everything's free. And the gift of salvation is free. Okay, don't let me get you wrong there. You don't have to pay to earn your way in, or you don't have a running tab to build up. But can I just tell you that following Jesus is actually costly? It is. I'm not talking finances, but it's costly. Because whenever I look back 5 years ago, I had a lot more relationships and friendships than I have today. I used to have a much bigger circle. I was always a popular kid in school. I played sports all the way growing up, and I always wanted to fit in with the popular crowd and the you know, the cool people and the popular people, and I had a big circle. And whenever I truly followed Jesus with all of my heart, all of my life, my marriage and everything, my future, I realized that my circle got smaller. My circle got smaller. People walked out on me, and I was wondering what I did wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. Jesus was making me right. He was removing people from my life that would continue to bring me down. And I brought something to help me illustrate this morning. And I know you're going to laugh whenever I bring this out. Don't laugh. But I brought a ladder. I did a lot of work from these, as you can tell. You know, what they call a manly man. And I do change light bulbs and smoke detector batteries. But I brought a ladder. Man, this is a nice ladder. But do you notice something about this ladder other than it's wood and it goes up? Whenever I was looking at this ladder, this is just a beautiful illustration and a model for what it looks like whenever we follow Jesus. Look at the steps of the ladder, if you can see them. If you look at the steps, you'll notice something as you go up the ladder, that the steps get smaller. The steps get smaller the higher you go up the ladder. And I didn't realize this until not that long ago. And whenever I was looking at my relationship with Jesus, I was wondering where all of my friends used to be, where they are now. I was wondering where those lifestyles or those habits used to be. They're not there anymore. And what I realized was that when we're truly committed to following Jesus, and whenever we use this model as an or this ladder as an illustration of going up in our walk with Him and our commitment to Him and our relationship with Him, pursuing Him, I realized that there's less room for some people and things. There's less room for people and things. You know, whenever I take a step, I haven't tested this ladder yet. This will be a good time to do it. Jared, will you get my back? You got me? Where are you at? Where are you at? But I realized something else too. That whenever I stay on the ground level, there's a lot of room out here to walk around, right? There's a whole lot of room. And whenever I really take the words of Jesus at His word, I remember that He said that there's a wide gate that's traveled by many. There's much room out here for many people to walk around and never get off the ground in their relationship with Jesus. There's a whole lot of room out here. But then I also remember what He said right before that. He said there's a narrow gate traveled by few. The narrow gate leads to life. The wide gate leads to destruction. So whenever I want to truly follow Jesus, I have to go from the many or the, you know, the much room down here, traveling by the wide gate with the many, to the narrow gate. And what happens is the steps get narrower the higher I go. And there's less room for those people who used to bring me down and destroy my dreams. There's less room for those people whose lifestyles do nothing but bring me back down the ladder. And, you know, the higher I get, the further down everything else is that used to be holding me back, and those people who used to be holding me back, they're way down there now. There's no room for them up here. The closer I grow to Him, the less room there is for everything and everyone else. Not saying we have to destroy all relationships and tell all people they're all bad people. That's not it at all. But here's what I do realize. If you were to write down right now all of your relationships and friendships on a piece of paper and put them in a drawer, and 5 years from now do the very same thing, if you spent those 5 years truly pursuing Jesus Christ in an intimate relationship with Him, you would realize your list is much smaller. And you might think, well, I don't have any friends now. No, you have great friends. You have other pieces of iron who are sharpening you on a weekly and monthly basis. You have great friends. You have great friends now who are helping you push yourself up the ladder. They're encouraging you. They're lifting you up. They're sharpening you. And the problem is, if we're not careful, we're easily pulled right back down the ladder. Right back down. It's costly to follow Jesus. I don't have all that great relationships with certain very close family members because of the fact I would rather follow Jesus than pursue the world. I don't have all that many great friendships. I used to. But I had to come to the terms and I had to count the cost. And I had to courageously commit myself to taking steps up. I had to take one step after another. And it got narrower and it got narrower and it gets narrower and it gets narrower all the way to the top. It's costly. It's costly. And we have to be courageous and committed to truly take that first step from the ground level with the many to the ladder with the few, where the steps get narrower and the way is traveled by fewer. But what you'll realize is that as you start walking the ladder with those who are fewer, you'll have people helping you up. And I've come to the conclusion of this with my life. I would rather be ridiculed, mocked, laughed at, and condemned by the people below me than condemned by the one above me. So I'm going to courageously commit my life, counting the costs, whatever it costs, whoever it costs, to follow him. Maybe the first step for you is to get off the ground. Maybe the first step for you is to actually drop to a knee and a true repentant heart for our sin, asking God to forgive us. Maybe that's the first step. Maybe we've never made it to that point. Maybe your next step is being baptized in his name. Maybe your next step is saying no to something or someone, because all it's doing is bringing you back down the ladder. All Jesus said was to those two groups of brothers was, follow me. And immediately, they left their jobs, they left their families, they count the cost. They counted the cost when they left. They knew it would cost them financially, they would leave their families behind. They didn't matter the cost. They courageously followed him. It's costly, church. It's costly. All he said was, follow me. And all I want to ask you is, where are you? Are you still on ground level? Or are you working up the ladder? There are people who have been working up the ladder for a long time. There are some people here who have just now started taking steps up the ladder. But there's also this reality that there are probably people here who are still walking the ground. Still walking the ground. And what I want you to ask yourself is, where am I? And it's time for you to take the first step. Even though it's uncomfortable, do it courageously. Will you pray with me?